and gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm Lobster. Legends Podcast is cracking open the cinematic vault and bringing you a whole month of cons, capers, and car chases. Whether you're an East End card sharp, a handsome art thief, a trio of rogue soldiers, or eight feisty heisting heroines, you'll find the big score right here on our podcast. This is Aug Heist, and this week we're talking about Ocean's 8, last summer's hit heist movie that also happened to be a female-led spinoff of the Steven Soderbergh franchise. Following Debbie Ocean, played by Sandra Bullock, and her crew, an all-star cast of course, the film swaps casino halls for gala balls. At the summer box office, Ocean's 8 scored big, with nearly $300 million worldwide against a $70 million budget, but do these queens of the screen successfully steal the crown jewels, or is this museum caper a few gems short of a full set? I have loved this month so much, but we have a blank spot. We don't know yet. We have a blind spot on our cameras. We don't know Wing felt about Three Kings.
Three Kings, I was very afraid when I started watching it that it did not age well. I remember that was like one of the movies that made me see George Clooney in a different way, in some ways.
Because like I think you saw past his bat nipples to his potential for stardom?
Yes. And in this movie, you can see that this is an actor. And I have to say the editing hold up, the topics hold up. But the chemistry between the actors is amazing. I have to keep a legendary on this.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think it deserves it. We viewed it favorably as well. Well, I say we. I guess I mean me, you. Because Beef did not feel that it aged as well. And I have to say, I don't want Aug Heist to end because I'm already starting to pick movies that I want to talk about next year. I don't know if you guys are in the same place, but tonight we're talking Ocean's 8. The Ocean's franchise itself, we could do a whole month on just these movies. We could go back and do the Rat Pack original, the Soderbergh trilogy. But I think it's good that we're talking about this movie this month because we have focused on 1999 movies. We have been dealing primarily with all-male casts, with really the exception of Rene Russo in the mix. And I feel like it's time to have one for the ladies. What do you guys think?
I think that whatever is well written and well conceived, that whoever the actors are is perfect. The fact that this one made it work with all ladies and got the topic and the characters to be as interesting as if they were writing any other movie, make this movie work where Ghostbusters didn't work at the box office. I like Ghostbusters, by the way. Just want to point that out. But this is where this one just goes off the roof. And not relying on stardom from the old guys. I mean, they bring what? The one that are the cheapers?
A very, very small cameo from Elliot Gould.
And the little Chinese guy.
Well, spoilers, but yes.
Yeah, so, you know, it's... I love how this movie is written. God, I love this movie.
This was kind of a breath of fresh air because I don't think any of us saw it in the theaters, right?
I did.
Okay.
Opening day.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. No, I did not get the chance to see it in theaters.
Yeah.
Which I regretted, but.
I don't know. To me, I kind of like having it at my own pace at home because the Ocean's movies kind of were played out. The first one was great, and then it was just kind of like, it's more of the same all the time. But I don't know. I had a lot of fun with this. It kept me on my toes, and it was cool. It was fun to see Sandra Bullock and all these ladies kicking ass. They were well written and
sure.
I don't know. I thought this was going to be a prequel, probably just by the numbering and shit, but I'm glad they didn't rely on all the other boys.
Yeah, I felt there were two cameos from previous Oceans alums. Obviously, it's left open-ended whether or not Danny Ocean himself is alive or dead. Could just be another long con. But I like that they quickly move away and make this about these characters, and it's really the story of these characters and not settling. You know, if this movie was about, like, getting revenge on who did something to Danny, then I don't think it would have worked. But because it was about Debbie's story and kind of what they were doing in their own right, I think it worked much better.
It didn't have to be Ocean's 8. It could have been, you know, the Grateful 8. I mean, it could have been
right.
Anything.
And I think they played on the name, which is, I think, the thing to do. Play on the name, make it a spiritual sequel, but also do its own thing. Do you think that this film did enough to capture the feeling of the originals, but also at the same time establish its own sort of language?
Yes, because instead of getting Las Vegas, which is like America's playground, like we were saying, which they saw they showed a very boyish thing about that town. Then you get into New York and they show you something that's way more feminine without being in your face, because it's still New York. So they give the setting a personality. They gave the characters kind of roles that you could see them in the other caper from the Ocean, but at the same time it's whatever caper. So by having all these other elements having their own personality, we had the casino in Ocean 11, and in this one we get the museum, and we learn the geography of the museum and all that. So they got the same beats and the language without going through a beat by beat remake, really, like Ghostbusters 2 from Ghostbusters 1.
Yeah, I think what's exciting about this film is one of my worries, I think, was that this film would make itself too obvious that it was a female reboot. But they do, when they're using these characters, they're not using these characters necessarily as women, which is like in sort of the typical Hollywood language of they're using their feminine wiles, they're using their powers of seduction, they're using, you know, what really is overly tropified in Hollywood in its treatment of women. They are in positions of power. They are in positions of prestige. When they are infiltrating the Met Gala, they're in positions of authority. So, I mean, I really appreciate that, and I like how they build in Helena Bonham Carter's character. They build in Anne Hathaway's character. Sarah Paulson, I think, is great. Awkwafina,
she was awesome.
One of our Crazy Rich Asians. You know, also awesome in this. Rihanna, who I totally forgot was in this at all, was great. So
the heist seemed more realistic too than taking on Vegas right away, right? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know if it's more realistic, but it feels more home than a vault in Vegas,
right?
Because it's an exhibit.
Yes, it's set up. You know,
it's a party. Right, they're not robbing some place, they're robbing someone.
Right.
Which is kind of a fun take on it. And, well, at least that's what you expect is happening. Now, I knew they were going to do something with those jewelry with the jewelry on the mannequins in the moat. Like, they didn't just point that out for no reason, but...
I was having such a good time, I didn't even... Oh, there's right, other jewels right. there. They're good. That's how when yeah. they check them back in, they're going to get away with the fake printed ones or something. I don't know.
I bet Wing was with me
oh, yeah.
and doing the math in his head about their split, their shares, right?
I didn't see where the money was coming from, but... They got me completely by, oh, yeah, that's not what we were stealing. That was the other thing. Because I kept searching what they were stealing, and I totally missed it because I had a good time. Basically, that's why I missed it, just because I had a good time.
Yeah, it was definitely a good time. I thought that maybe it lacked a little bit of the crackle of the first of the Oceans trilogy.
I could say that.
But... On the other hand, I haven't watched those movies in so long. I don't know how they hold up. That was 2001. It could almost have been a Legend of 99, you know, 2 years removed.
They hold up.
I don't, yeah. Again, I don't know. This one, I felt like at times they didn't do enough to raise the stakes. They could have ratcheted up the tension a little bit more. But also... Maybe after watching a month of heist movies, I'm just attuned to like watching the Three Card Monty, knowing where the queen is going, that, you know, I couldn't really get fully immersed in it.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm kind of the Uber fan in there. Like I said, I was there first day. These are movies that are in constant rotation while I'm doing, you know, playing a game on my Switch or whatever. These movies play all the time here. So, to be honest, I've seen this movie probably 20 times since last year.
Okay, good.
So, that was not a chore to watch it again.
Yeah.
So, I'm confident in saying that the first one still holds up. The second one still has the same problem, that it's kind of confusing. So, if you're not a big fan, you're like, what? But once you accept that, it's confusing, but everything is there.
Yeah, that's the who knew what when.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. But in this one, I think the best thing they got, and if you're not a fan, you didn't see the trailer, so that probably worked better for you. How did the Anne Hathaway turn work for you?
My wife said, like, pretty much as soon as Anne Hathaway became a thing in the movie, she was like, oh, she's in on it.
Did you believe
her? Because also you're counting in your head eight.
Again,
we need eight.
I didn't even go near that. I was just like not even absorbing this movie. I was letting it wash over me and have a good time with it.
No. Yeah. No. My wife was like, oh, Anne Hathaway's in on it, isn't she? And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, oh, they need eight.
Oh, fuck her.
Yeah, but that's why you married your wife. Not everybody would get that.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. No,
but
of course.
When I saw the movie the first time, I was like, okay, I would see her as Benedict, the Benedict of the Peace, if I didn't see the freaking trailer.
Right.
So I was kind of pissed.
Yeah, but I'm sure we talked about the trailer on here, right? Because this was a year ago.
Yeah, totally
so.
Did.
Yep.
I could not remember much. Like, I forgot Cate Blanchett was in it. I forgot Rihanna was in it. Pretty much all I remembered was Awkwafina was in it,
and
Mindy
Sandra
Kaling
Bullock.
Was in it, and Sandra Bullock, yeah.
I like the dude insurance investigator. What's his name?
James Corden of late night television.
Yeah, he was fun. I mean, you know, the switch up from not the female in... what the hell did we just watch? 2 weeks ago. Whatever.
Thomas Cronenberg.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, Rene Russo.
Yeah.
He was the Rene Russo of this
Rene
movie.
Russo, yeah.
I wish that he danced in a see-through dress, but he did not.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been
awkward,
great.
But I mean, I guess it's okay.
So Richard Armitage, who plays Claude Becker, I'm going to make a rare plug for another podcast, which is if you have been listening to the Marvel's Wolverine, The Long Night, and The Lost Trail, which are two Marvel-produced podcasts, he does the voice of Logan, and it's the same voice that he uses for this character. and I just, like, the whole time, all I could do was picture him as Wolverine. There was a little bit of Marvel Cinematic Universe casting this past weekend, and for a hot second, I thought they were casting someone to play Wolverine, and I was disappointed that it was not Richard Armitage, and then relieved when it turned out that, at least for now, it seems to be that that wasn't what they were doing. More of that when we get to news.
Okay.
All right, so... Overall, I think this was a good experience, a nice way to end Aug Heist 2019. We kind of debated, do we include, when we were doing this, we wanted to see, do we include this last year? But I like that we waited a year, waited till it was in, I watched it on HBO Go, so it's in the home movie rotation, to, as Wing said. To check out. So if you haven't seen it yet, definitely give it a shot. I hope they do Ocean's 9.
There's a script around. It's been very quiet on development, but there's a script around. So
well, I think
who
it's,
knows?
I think the thing with these movies is Awkwafina broke out. She's going to do a bunch of stuff, including Marvel. Mindy Kaling has like 8 series in development. You know, everyone else, it kind of becomes whatever their schedules will allow for. And it was the same with the first 3 films, I think. So you had Matt Damon, Brad Pitt, George Clooney, everyone else, Julia Roberts. Like, you just have to line up all those schedules.
Actually, the first film, whoever was in the crew was whoever was available. It's when you get to 2 and 3 that it becomes hellish, because All these people all of a sudden broke out. So you're like, oh, okay. How do we align Brad Pitt and Matt Damon?
Who was the breakout? Who was the breakout star from the first one, do you think?
I know I discovered Bernie Mac from there as an actor, like, and not just as a joke.
Sure.
Who else was in this movie? God, there's so much good people. Oh, the young Affleck?
Oh, Casey Affleck.
Casey Affleck, yeah.
Can't really talk about too much anymore.
Well, for good reasons.
Yeah, for good reason. That's what I mean. Like,
for good reason.
We probably shouldn't talk about him much anymore. You know,
but yeah, there was a couple of actors like that that just screwed their schedule. That's why in the third movie, Cassie Affleck is like in Mexico for most of the movie because he was busy.
I wonder, like, I keep going back to that first one and thinking about Matt Damon and how, you know, he had done, Talented Mr. Ripley, Good Will Hunting, he was about to do Bourne, but that maybe showed a little bit more of his range in there. So he does have some comedic talent.
He was an up-and-comer when they cast him. And when they got to the last movie, he was one of the stars. So.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I think we can put this one back in the vault and get ready to seal up Aug Heist for another year.
I don't want to let it go.
Ouch. No.
All right. If you're going to have a problem with rating this movie, then you're not going to like the rest of this conversation. Wing, for Ocean's 8, are you going legendary?
The big score.
Legend of its time.
Vaulting ambition.
Cult legend.
The long con.
Awesome.
Clean getaway.
Entertaining.
Nice pull.
Mayable.
Con job.
Forgettable.
Sticky fingers.
Abysmal.
Cheap fraud.
Spring Breakers D&D.
Ocean's 12, and I only say that because I went on Rotten Tomatoes, and that is the lowest scoring.
Yeah, people don't get that movie. That's a problem.
But I would have to go back and rewatch them all to kind of be able to tell you for sure.
With an aside of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of celebrity cameos, did you count them? There are a bunch.
I noticed Common and Kim Kardashian walking past.
Yeah. Okay.
Unfortunately.
So you have Anna Wintour, Zayn Malik, Katie Holmes, Maria Sharapova, Serena Williams, Kim Kardashian West, Common, Adriana Lima, Designer, Kylie Jenner, Alexander Wang, Kendall Jenner, Ira Glass, Gigi Hadid, Lily Aldridge, Olivia Munn, Jamie King, Zach Posen, Hailey Bieber, Derek Blasberg, Sophia Richie, Heidi Klum, Kelly Rohrbach, and Lauren Santo Domingo. Whoever some of those people, yeah. And those are like the regulars of the Met Gala too, so no surprise.
It's funny because, you know, in this one, you don't have like any, like we said, any George Clooney or stuff like that, because they were basically dead until this works. Now it's working. I can't wait to see if they appear in the next one as a cameo in the crowd. Even if it's just cameo in the crowd, you know?
So how will you rate this, Wing?
In my heart, it's the big score, but if I'm honest with everything, right now I'm putting that in the Legends of Its Time. It's the one that did it. That's a female spin-off that worked. Mm-hmm. That's a female spin-off that's well-made. That is not a female spin-off, which is a spin-off. So the way they attack this by making it just another Ocean movie, and when they marketed it, that was exactly the same thing. This movie works on all cylinder, and if you like the first Ocean movie, this is the second best one of the whole five movies overall. So in my heart, it's the big score, but I'm saying, like, in 10 years we're gonna watch it again and we'll see if I still think that way. For now, it's a Legend of Its Time. Nobody else did it for now. Beef?
Oh, fuck.
You're not going to like the rest of this conversation.
Yeah, you're really not. No, I really enjoyed this movie. I don't know where to rate it, though, because I absolutely agree with you, and that's what sickens me, Wing. I believe it is the second best Oceans. I think maybe Oceans 11 is probably the first, just because it sets the tone, but I could go back and watch 11, and that may suck compared to this. I just don't. Is it a legend? Is it a cult legend? I'm going to just give it an awesome for right now. Clean getaway. I had a lot of fun with it. I don't know if it's something I'm always going to go back to, but I did have a hell of a lot of fun and celebrity cameos. So for right now, I'll give it a clean getaway, even though I know it deserves more than that. Lobster?
I'm going to back you up on that. And say this movie does make a clean getaway, because it's not easy to accomplish what it accomplishes with the baggage of a previous well-regarded trilogy, 10 years later, updating it with a brand new take on it. But it stays true to the heart of the Oceans franchise, which has always been the art of misdirection. So one of my gripes in some recent heist movies is that they rely too much on the whiz-bang and the gadgetry and the techno solutions and the hacking and all of that. And there's a little bit here, but when you look at what they actually do, it's just to move a camera about a foot, right? Like,
yep.
The art of this movie and what it does so well is by directing your gaze elsewhere, distracting you, and pulling some sleight of hand. And that has always been the bread and butter of the Oceans franchise, and it's why I love movies like Inside Man above all other heist movies, because they are not only pulling the heist on the mark in the movie, they are pulling the heist on you as the viewer. So I would give this one full credit for actually pulling that off. I don't know if it popped off the screen the way the first Oceans did, and the reason why they made two more is because of the first one. But I think that this movie really does do a good job of making it its own thing and pulling it off in a way that leaves me wanting more. I don't know if I want Gary Ross to do the whole trilogy. There's something I think that makes me want to see a female director tackle this franchise.
Oh, yeah.
Something that makes me want to see someone with a little bit more art house flair tackle this franchise. So one of the awesome things about having Steven Soderbergh lead your blockbuster marquee is that he is an indie movie guy. And they were able to get him to do these studio pictures because they let him do his thing. Now, he did do the experimental thing in Ocean's 12, but by and large, he delivered what the general audience wanted. But I want a little bit more of that in my Ocean's 9, I think.
Yeah, the problem is that this is really Gary Russ' baby. He wrote the script, he got the people, he got the budget, he presented it to Warner Brothers. So before somebody else touched this, it's going to take a moment. Because without him, this doesn't
exist. No. And I'm not trying to discredit what
I'm
he
saying
accomplished.
This because I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just kind of want to see what somebody else could do. I mean, the guy who directed Lassie and Pleasantville and Seabiscuit, you know, those are some safe choices. I kind of want to know what else is out there. I watched a great movie last weekend that I hope to include in Og Heist 2020, Hell or High Water.
Is it that good?
It is that good. And I would love to see that in the rotation next year.
I'm going to watch it before the end of this year's Og Heist for me, and then I'll revisit it.
Yeah, okay. But again, like, I think there's hot young talent out there.
Oh, wait.
Again, I think a female director on this, if you're doing your female-led franchise,
you
it
get
should
like
be
Patty
a female.
Jenkins. I mean, come on.
Sure, absolutely. Now, Olivia Milch
costs a lot of money.
That's
there
right.
was a co-writer on this with Gary Ross on the screenplay, Olivia Milch. So this was touched by a female hand, but again, we'll see what the future holds.
Last word on Ocean's 8.
Got me.
Décolletage.
Bravo.
God.
Bravo. Is that what you said?
Yep.
Okay. Beef, what time is it?
News time.
All right, folks. Exciting stuff happened, but it did not happen at the box office.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, again, like, late summer, once again, is kind of torpedoing the whole takeaway from this year. So we don't have any strong closers closing out August. Angel Has Fallen opened at number one with just $21 million. Overcomer undercame.
Huh?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. And Ready or Not, the movie that I was kind of rooting for as the Hunting Humans movie of the year since The Hunt was pulled, opened at number six. So I don't think
I've
it's going to do.
I've heard that's pretty good, though.
Yeah, I've heard good things as well. So. Fun note, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood crossed the $200 million mark,
yes.
Which I think makes it the most financially successful Tarantino film.
Yes. It was already at like $120 million or something like that. So, but this movie cost $100 million, so that means they got into their money. That was a good bet because nobody in their right mind should have financed this movie.
Nope, but Sony did, and then they stole Spider-Man back.
Bastards.
No, they didn't. Disney tried to make extortion. That's what happened.
No. Disney tried getting a little bit of pay for all the help.
Disney tried to say, your Spider-Man does not make a billion without the Avengers. And
it's like, it's okay. They're both wrong. They're both being whiny bitches right now, to be honest. They're both wrong and they're both right.
Yeah, because if I was Sony right now, I was like, yeah, we're going to make our own Spider-Verse live action and we're cool.
Yeah, but it's so. That's not going to work unless it's good. You can't, just because something got an Oscar last year, Sony can't pull out a fucking phenomenal Spider-Verse. There's a 50-50 chance it won't work. I put money on that.
You hire, like, the guys from the Lego movie? Done. You're already under contract.
Yeah, the ones who already did Into the Spider-Verse?
Yeah.
You I think that's the only contract. Way. Yeah. That
yeah, but unless you completely copy that movie, you take away from it. And if you completely copy that movie, you take away from it by doing it live action either way.
I'm saying that everybody's going to go see it. You're going to open doors. You're going to create franchise. You can reproduce your own MCU that way. So, and that's how they see it. So why give... What was the last report? 25% of everything Spider-Man, including Venom and all that bullshit that they're making? No, nobody in their right mind is going to accept that. Not for $300 million every three years.
I mean, 50% of nothing is still nothing.
What's the worst box office for a Spider-Man movie? $800 million? $750?
Yeah, but how much do they cost to produce and advertise?
Marvel was going to put up money towards the production and advertising. Right. It's not
and
like
you don't want that.
And
you
Marvel still gets 100% of the merchandising.
Marvel, exactly. So at that point, I'm like, okay, just keep your deal going. You're happy to use Spider-Man and move on. But the way I hear that is that the producers at Disney, the CEOs, were like, no, we're not going to keep Kevin Feige working for Sony. We have a lot of shit to make him do and develop.
And Kevin Feige has delivered time and time again and proven his worth to the studio that hired him. So... I do have to say that it makes me a little nervous because I don't want Sony to fail and then just have Disney buy them anyway. Like, and part of me thinks that Disney has access and control of so much intellectual property. I don't think they need more, and we're going to talk a lot about Disney this week in our news. So, but I do feel that Spider-Man is the one character that belongs in a larger cinematic universe. But I don't know, with Venom and Into the Spider-Verse and all that, maybe the Spider-Verse can really be a thing.
Are they going to reboot completely? Because, I mean... Now you can never talk about Tom Holland's past.
They have Tom Holland under contract for 3 pictures, but they only had John Watts under contract for 2. So it looks like he's going to go work for Marvel, and they'll have to find a new director for whatever third Spider-Man movie they put out.
Lord and Miller?
And they've got Andy Serkis doing Venom 2, so we'll see how that turns out.
That's the thing. That the other thing that you just said also is that, okay, I understand that was kind of fun to have Spider-Man in there for a little while, but at the same time, not having Spider-Man in there got us to have a Thor movie, got us to have a Captain Marvel movie, because they're not busy at doing a Spider-Man thing, and we've seen the freaking Spider-Man thing. So I'll be honest, I'm kind of happy that they still don't own everything, and we have other studios making superhero movies.
Yeah, but the crossover wasn't hurting anything. They helped breathe life back into Spider-Man. Spider-Man was always going to have life, but
yeah.
I mean, realistically, he was so much better as a team-up kind of guy.
I mean, the problem for me with Sony and their is just the track record, right? They didn't know what to do other than to do the same thing again. And I just feel like Marvel's instinct, and I think that Marvel's driving idea behind using the Spider-Man character was, we don't want to do what's already been done. We don't want to do Great Power and Great Responsibility and see Uncle Ben die again. We don't want to do a villain that we've already seen. We don't want to tell an origin story we've already seen.
And now you have to go back and do all that again.
I mean, I that's what I don't know. Like, does Sony realize that the key ingredient of the success in the Tom Holland Spider-Man character was not the fact that he was playing in a cinematic universe? It was that the stories that they were doing were not Spider-Man stories we'd seen before.
I think they did. I think that, and again, if you just look at the numbers, give us like 25% of everything you do with this.
I mean, does,
but there, versus $300 million every 2 years.
So I will just ask, and again, we'll move on from this. Is there an alternate dimension where Sony produced a movie with Mysterio with a glass dome on his head?
Yes. I think so.
In the multiverse.
Everybody's talking like Sony screwed the pooch like crazy. They made two bad movies out of seven. That's a fucking good track record. I mean, who did that first? Sony or Marvel? I'm sorry, Marvel had a couple of bumps before they got to their crazy track record.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But
so, Sony has two... Okay, they have two strikes. They don't have three yet. They made the deal with Disney at the right moment. That's a good business move.
But see, it's 25% of the profit. They were going to put up some of the seed money for
right,
said
they
movies.
They were going to put up... They were going to put up 25% of... whatever they were asking back, they were putting in percentage-wise.
Exactly. That's why you don't want that, that's usually. What you want to give is percentage on the first, how do they call that, first dollar. So it's the first week, if you make $200 million or something like that, you make X number of percent, great, you cash in, have a great week. That's it. But now they want to have like a controlling stake in the character. And the other thing that everybody seems to forget is they wanted that for every other spin-off character. So basically they're asking 25% of 900 characters that they have, and Venom made $800 million. Why the hell would you pay Marvel for that? Just there, the calculation doesn't work anymore. Because, okay, Marvel give you again a bump of $300 million in your movie every 2 years, $300 to $400 million. You just made $600 million profit with Venom. Why would you share that? Why would you share the Morbius money? Why would you share the Kraven movie money?
Wait, there's going to be Morbius movie money?
I think so.
We have to revisit this. I'm still cynical of Venom, but...
Are you going to see Venom 2 directed by Andy Serkis?
I cannot yet say.
The cinematographer of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood that won three Oscars working on this, with the best sci-fi team in the world. I mean, at this point you have Weta and all these people working on this movie and Andy Serkis at the helm. He made two movies. He had one good, the other one sucked.
I think we'll see. I think this is going to be a recurring debate that we'll have. And eventually one of us will be proven right and the other will be proven wrong. But I want to talk about one thing that does not relate to Disney before we go back and talk about all Disney stuff. Sound good?
Sound good.
Nathan Fillion in an undisclosed role and Steve Agee as King Shark have joined Suicide Squad. Yep. The Suicide Squad that James Gunn is directing.
It's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be awesome. I don't even know. They're talking about that it's not a sequel. It is a sequel. Birds of Prey is a sequel. It's not a sequel. I don't know. I don't care. Forget the first Suicide Squad. I'm all about the Suicide Squad. Okay, this past weekend was D23, the big biannual expo where Disney tells us all the ways they're going to control our lives for the next 6 months to a year to further. First off, I want to talk about Disney Plus as a streaming platform that you may want to look into for yourself. So we got to look at what this the site will look like. They are offering four simultaneous streams and free 4K HDR Ultra HD at no extra
cost.
Didn't
you also, I read somewhere, I think you put in there that it's got Dolby Atmos too.
Yeah, it's a whole deal. So they're going premium in the content delivery. They will not be releasing seasons full of their original content. They will be releasing it on a weekly basis, which I think is smart because that is going to generate the water cooler buzz. And I think that is good, and that is where we see some original streaming series fall off a little bit, because if you don't watch it all at once, someone else does, then you kind of don't know where you stand in having a conversation about the show with them, where when it's a weekly release, you can clue people in, and even if they need to watch two or three episodes to get caught up, by the next week, they can have a conversation with you about the most recent episode. I think this is smart.
Yeah, and see it that way. Try to do a podcast on Westworld if they all drop the same day.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be tough when we get back to the Expanse cast, because we're talking about that right now. What do we do? Because they're going to drop them all at the same time. So,
take your time with each one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, but we knew Disney Plus was going to have Disney and all the Marvel and yay, Star Wars and Pixar. They're getting my $7 a month now. Nat Geo.
For National Geography.
$7 a month.
Okay, whoa. You don't have to pay $7 a month.
What do you mean?
You can pay $4 a month.
What?
Okay, so here's what you're going to want to do.
Okay.
There is a D23. D23 is actually the Disney fan club. So you can go online, you can sign up for a free membership to the Disney Fan Club, D23. That will give you the ability to purchase 2 years of Disney Plus and get the third year free.
Wow.
So for the upfront price, again, you're going to spend, I think, like $180, something like that. I don't know what the math works
I've
out
heard
to exactly.
That's absolutely nothing. That is the price of a normal cable bill a month.
Yep. Yeah. So you pay that forward, stretch that out over the 2 years, and the third year you get free. That works out to less than $4 per month.
Are you serious?
And in 3 years, you're going to renew at $12 a month.
Yeah. They will, yeah, that's how they get you, you know.
But you just got 3 years of programming for $4 a month. Even if you go normal at $7 a month,
yep.
That's still dirt cheap.
Yeah. So I just wanted to put that out there as well, because while we are looking at a content battle, we're also looking at a pricing battle. So Disney, I think, is being very cognizant of the fact that they are entering a marketplace where Amazon, Netflix are their competition, and they are looking to price them out.
Nice.
Agreed.
Some other stuff from D23 before we get into Star Wars and Marvel in particular. The Mulan footage that was shown was apparently very well received. There is some controversy because the star of Mulan has spoken out against the protests against the Chinese government and the Hong Kong police specifically. So she did not show up to D23, but the footage that was shown, people liked. There was some footage from Onward that was shown. That is the Chris Pratt, Tom Holland movie where they are in a fantasy world.
I have a problem with this one.
Okay, go ahead.
Have you read anything about it? Have you read the kind of breakdown that they have in here?
What, like why they're going on a quest?
Yeah, they're going on a quest because their father passed away and they try to bring him back. And they use a visitation spell and they need an assist element. This is Full Metal Alchemist.
Nerds.
This is Full Metal Alchemist done by Disney. Or by Pixar.
Is that okay?
I don't know. I mean, it's got its. It's going to have its own stuff, but I mean, I guess it's kind of stolen if it goes the way I think it will. But I mean, isn't, you know, copying, like,
inspired?
Yeah, inspired by, I guess. It, yeah. So
I mean, I guess the thing about Disney is they've always borrowed from, like, archetypal stories. True. Like The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty. Why not treat anime as a modern fairy tale?
They own one or two anime studio on the back end. Not saying that they control them as per se, but they own them as diversification. So maybe they just own that. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Maybe, but it seems weird.
Yeah. Some new Pixar projects and Disney Animation. So we know Frozen 2 is coming, Soul, and Raya and the Last Dragon. And then also with Disney Plus, there is Muppets and Lizzie McGuire are going to return. And they talked about the possibility of doing a Simpsons spinoff series.
What? Who would? What? Who? No, I don't even care. Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Don't care. Agreed. I want to see that Jeff Goldblum thing. But
that's we'll get to that later.
Oh, yeah. That connects with National Geographic being in there. Let's talk about Star Wars.
Obi-Wan.
So it's still Disney. Let's go.
It's still Disney. We got it. Obi-Wan series is a go.
So when is this going to take place?
Don't know.
When he's on Tatooine.
Okay. Guarding, I guess, yeah, Luke. He's old. You're right.
Yeah, it's 8 years after what we saw, so... Okay.
Which, like, you know, it's Ewan McGregor, so it's pretty much what the age he is at the time, right?
Yep.
Ming-Na from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and is going to join the Mandalorian. We'll talk a little bit more about the Mandalorian in a second. Clone Wars series Season 7 is coming in early 2020. We have a lot more to talk about with Star Wars in Trailer Dump.
Second shift. We'll get there. Or second gear. Ready? Go.
Yeah. Marvel. So Black Widow trailer was seen. We don't have any actual footage yet that we can discuss.
I like that other David than Harbour is playing the Russian version of Captain America.
Yeah, the Red Guardian. Yeah. Lots of fights in the trailer. Supposedly it's about the Black Widow and her sister.
And Taskmaster.
And Taskmaster and all of that. Black Panther 2 will come in 2022.
Holy
fuck. So we have a ways to wait for that one, but it is getting the May release date, kind of the summer anchor slot for Marvel. In news that I can't scream loudly enough about, She-Hulk series, Moon Knight, and Miss Marvel in development for Disney Plus.
They're also developing, we talked about it a couple times, I read it here, and now I forgot the fucking name, What If? And
yeah, so What If, yep.
The Jeff Wright voicing the all-seeing watcher, and they're going to take elements like we talked about, spinning them off, a zombie Captain America, Peggy Carter taking the mantle of Captain America, calling herself Captain Carter, one episode where Tony Stark as Guardians of the Galaxy character Star-Lord. So, I mean, this... Yeah, they have my $7. They already
got it. And
this
is animated, but they are getting the voice... Yep. Cast, yeah.
Yep.
I was about to say I don't care, but as I think Beef says all the time, well, it's free.
Yeah, if you're paying $4 a month for it,
even
for the next
$7
a month, 3 years,
this is
dirt.
I waste this on $2 a coffee a month.
Yes, yeah.
You spend more on your mobile game than that. So.
Oh, easily.
The Avengers Campus will be coming to Disney Park.
What was it?
Phenomenal.
Heroes Theme Park before or something? Heroes Park?
Yeah, so I like Avengers Campus. It sounds like I want an Avengers Campus in my neighborhood. So I alluded to this earlier. This kind of the internet seized on this for a moment and then went meh. So Kit Harington, he of Jon Snow Who Knows Nothing, will join the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay.
It was reported that he was joining the MCU before they announced what character he was going to play, and people were like, oh my god, Wolverine, he's perfect, he's short, he's bearded.
He would be good.
He would be a great Wolverine.
He's not a good actor.
No, he isn't, but... he's the Black Knight. Isn't that a little bit on the nose, because he played...
A knight who took the black,
Yeah, but perfect. They put something in front of his face. He's going to emote perfectly with this.
So he will be the Black Knight in the Eternals. I heard a while back that they were going to try to make the Black Knight a thing in the MCU. I've never read a comic that had the character the Black Knight in it. So I don't know how effective that will be. But I think they wanted to get Kit Harington on board. I don't put it past them to say, okay, we just signed him for this because we wanted him for something else. They just announced that Gemma Chan, who is also a Crazy Rich Asian.
Crazy.
And played a small role in Captain Marvel, will have a much larger role in The Eternals. So Marvel has done the let's cast someone in a small role and then use them again for something else bigger. You cast a character, the Black Knight, you have them act with something in front of their face, so you never really see them, and then, oh my gosh, Kit Harington is Wolverine.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I want another we'll unknown. Who was Hugh Jackman? He was the guy that stepped into the role 2 weeks after the shooting started.
Doug Ray Scott, who I will never forget, was Wolverine until Doug Ray Scott was Wolverine until there was a scheduling conflict between his role in X-Men and Mission Impossible 2.
Ugh. Yeah, but at the time, you do X-Men or you do the John Woo movie?
You do the John Woo movie with Tom Cruise, which, although it is, for my money, the most visually exciting of the Mission Impossible franchises, it is the most forgettable plot-wise. In fact, Hobbs and Shaw just recycled the plot. Which no one noticed, including, I'm guessing, both of you.
How have I never noticed this, that he was the... I didn't know this, that he was... that it wasn't supposed to be Jackman?
Nope.
Oh, and then a week after they cast Jackman, they almost threw him off the set because he was not playing enough, confident enough.
Yeah.
So, you know, we almost didn't get what we got. Point is, find me another Aussie out of nowhere.
Listen, I think I really like the podcast, and I really want it to be Richard Armitage, because I just can't get that voice out of my head now. So Tom Holland, the Spider-Man MCU exit reactions, both Tom Holland and Kevin Feige have weighed in on this, seeming to confirm that it is a done deal, and we will say au revoir to old Webhead in the MCU.
Hors d'oeuvres.
Yep.
All right, we all need to get on the plunger that's on a pogo stick, because we have to get this down.
Dear goddess, yeah, it's getting longer and longer every week.
Well, I've been eating a lot of fiber.
I am not in control, and you know that I post trailers in the GroupMe, and not all of the trailers make the cut for the episode of the week.
I don't even watch them in the GroupMe because I forget, and I'm going to have forgotten a lot of these. But all right. Let's start with the first one. Guillermo del Toro, Antlers, right? Am I wrong?
Yeah, he's producing Antlers. It looks like it's kind of a Wendigo-type story where something creepy is happening in a cabin somewhere.
It looks like, old dilapidated buildings. Some, it looks kind of fun and creepy. This is about my level of creepy, right?
Yeah.
Suspenseful, couple jump scares, but decent story.
Lucy in the Sky.
Is this the, like, pick about the astronaut chick that drove in a diaper to go kidnap her competition a couple years ago?
I don't think so, but it could be.
Looks good.
If
anyway.
It isn't.
It does look good. So it's Natalie Portman. She is an astronaut who wants to get back into the astronaut groove. One thing that excites me about this, as you know, I am a big fan of Fargo and Legion, which are written and directed by Noah Hawley, and he is writing and directing this film. I believe it is his feature film debut, so I am excited for it.
I have, if it's not like for sure based on and part of that story. It's got to be
remember
based
that.
On, it has to be based on it. Just like, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know if you caught loosely the news recently.
Loosely based on the true story of astronaut Lisa Nowak and her romantic involvement with fellow astronaut Willem Olufsen. Portman stars in the film as Lucy Cola.
It is that one.
Yep. Loosely.
So I don't know if you caught this, Lucy, if you caught this in the news recently, that NASA is investigating the first instance of alleged space crime.
What?
Oh, that's stupid as hell. One ex entered her ex bank account through online banking, basically.
Wait, what happened?
But in the space station.
Okay.
She logged into her former partner's bank account balance, which they share custody of a child. So she said she wanted to make sure there was enough money in the account to pay the bills. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yes. Okay. It's a crime. I get it. Because she used like a federal computer, I think. And it's your weird American laws. So that's how it becomes a crime, because that was a joint account.
You know, we were in international space. Suck it.
Right. Literally the International Space Station.
Right.
If anything, it's space piracy.
It's like it's like international waters. You know, do all the gambling you want.
So it actually doesn't work that way. So as an astronaut, you are subject to the laws of the country you're from. So if you're Russian, you're under Russian law. If you're
shouldn't it be from the country that you are over at said time? Don't borders extend into in perpetuity?
Geosynchronous orbit.
No, there's a height now for that.
No, I know. I'm just
crazy.
Moving into some more controversial journalistic territory, the film Bombshell about the Roger Ailes Fox News sex scandal. There is not much in this trailer to tell you that is what this movie is about.
Three of my favorite blondes are in it.
Yep, it's attractive people getting on an elevator. That's going to the second floor. So, there wasn't much in here to grasp onto. I think a much better trailer is The Report.
Which one was this
for
one again?
Amazon? The Torture Report.
Oh, this looks fucked up.
Yes.
And a movie or a show that I can't wait to see and pay my $4 for on Disney Plus, The World According to Jeff Goldblum.
We forgot to say the thing. The Report was with Adam Driver, and it actually looks very powerful.
Kylo Ren.
But Jeff Goldblum
looking so Jeff Goldblum-y.
What's nice about the Jeff Goldblum thing is it's like he's doing like what all of us would love to do. He's doing like every car show and travel show and eating show all rolled into one, and whatever his spastic brain wants to do that day. I love it.
I'm a late bloomer myself, or a late gold bloomer.
I will always remember that it was after this trailer that I realized that it said blah 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 and Nat Geo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff. They're gonna have good stuff. Noel, which is a Christmas movie. This is the second time we've talked about a Christmas movie in as many weeks. So this is Anna Kendrick as Santa's daughter. Bill Hader is his ne'er-do-well son.
No interest.
Yeah, don't care.
Again, this will be the thing you watch because it's free that came with your Disney Plus $4.
Nope.
Something that hit me in the feels in an unexpected way, the Lady and the Tramp trailer.
It's only
because
you're a dog owner now.
I'm not afraid.
Yes.
And kind of looks like my dog, too, the Tramp. She's scruffy like that.
Did you have this trailer in there the whole time? Did I miss it?
What, Lady and the Tramp? Yeah, it was in there.
Because I'm watching the trailer right now, and it's creepy, and
it's adorable.
The eyes are weird, but...
Yeah, I mean, they're doing the Lion King thing again, where these are real animals, but they're not real animals, and you can tell they're not real animals, and they may or may not haunt your nightmares.
See, I don't... not even that much of a dog person, and I'm going to have to see it. You guys are going to make me cry.
I mean, there are...
I'm not a dog person. You come here, you almost sleep with my dog. Come
right,
if it holds... If it holds true to the traditional Lady and the Tramp story, There will be Siamese cats.
Fuck.
I don't know how we update that for the Crazy Rich Asian generation. I am afraid that We Are Siamese, If You Please, may be problematic.
God. It probably is.
I don't know.
But
again, I don't know what the line is. I don't know if cats can be racist. I don't know if the movie Cats is racist. Like, I just don't know. I need someone to show me where this line is.
It's breedist, I guess. Right?
Again, look, I do not want to even touch this. I'm sorry that I mentioned it. But, again, I love that song, so I hope it's in there. But I don't know if it's okay.
Oh, my God, on the next one. I have to go back and watch like the last season of Breaking Bad again right now.
El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie.
On Netflix.
On Netflix, yeah. This was unexpected, and also someone discovered this by accident while browsing through Netflix and saw like a placeholder page for it, and then they immediately released the trailer.
Bob Odenkirk said like 10 days ago, he was on an interview and someone asked him about when are they going to film the Breaking Bad movie, and he's like, oh, that's done. That's been shot for a while. I'm surprised you guys didn't know about it.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's funny.
But it's coming and it looks good,
it's like
right?
To a little over 6 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And Netflix wanted to do it this week. But now we have 6 weeks to wait.
I think this is good, though. This is builds up extra buzz. Because if they would have went, they probably would have done it after a football game. What is
the
11th?
All right, so when you buy your subscription to Disney Plus and it goes live on November 12th, you can watch, I guess, just the first episode. I don't know how many you'll get to see with their weekly releases, but you will get to see The Mandalorian.
God, this looks good.
Yeah, again, you can share this with four people, so I'm sure I'm going to have some Klingons, and I don't care because I need people to talk about with this shit because I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. And
as
shit,
long as they're your family
this.
Members, Disney has said that they are designing the service for families. Wink, wink. I want you guys to know that I consider you my family, I will expect your Disney Plus password. No, I'm just kidding.
Mine is Canadian. That's going to be a problem.
Yeah, we won't get it.
Yeah, you'll already get mine. Don't worry about it. We're long
lost cousins. The Mandalorian does not speak in this trailer. We do get some other lines of dialogue.
Werner Herzog. I love him.
That's funny.
That voice. I don't know.
This looks good.
Do you notice he cuts a man in half with a door?
Yes. Well, it does look like he cuts a man in half.
Or the
I think
door
they
gingerly stops and holds him. You're right.
I believe that it gives him a tender smush, like just a little bit of a smush.
Like now I can question you.
Yeah. No, really, it was just doing. He was choking. It was doing the Heimlich.
Okay. Right.
So I was prepared for a Mandalorian trailer. I was not prepared for the internet to absolutely lose its shit over 30 seconds at the end of the Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker.
It's
D23
more
Star
like
Wars.
The last it's more like 2 seconds.
Two, yeah. That kind of weird saber.
It's
got to
be a vision.
Flip.
She can't go bad. She's not a Sith. It's a fucking double lightsaber. Oh my God, what's going on?
It's a clone. It's her sister.
Yeah,
it's...
I could not believe.
Why does 3PO have red eyes? Has he been cloned? Is he that other one that pretends to be 3PO?
You probably don't recognize me because of my red eyes.
Right.
That's awesome.
No, I'm absolutely fine. Kill.
I don't know. More theories.
I saw no BB-8. Fuckers.
Yeah, more theories spun out of these like 2 seconds of footage than the entire first trailer. So, yeah, everything from Rey's a clone to the Knights of Ren are clones to Rey is cloned from Luke Skywalker's severed hand to...
I like that.
Like, just, like, insane amounts of theories coming out of the woodwork. And
I don't
want to
know
is...
anymore. Don't, in future casts, don't tell me any new theories because...
Okay.
I want to let
I've literally just ruined it for
no,
you.
No.
And when it is
I'm gonna
Luke Skywalker's dead hand.
Right, or something like that. You didn't ruin
it. As Maz Kanata told us in The Force Awakens,
it's calling to you.
That's it's a story for another time.
That would be great.
And his lightsaber called to her.
Yep.
Oh, motherfuckers.
Because the hand, man.
The end called.
Yeah, the hand called. Okay. So, like I said, this is something that is coming. Force Friday is coming up, right? I believe.
Yep.
What?
That's in September. So, that's when we're going to get the first merchandise from the movie. Like, it's a big deal, you guys.
You know what? Fucking Disney. Now I got to go join their fan club.
Bastards.
Then I got to buy 3 years. Am I willing to commit to that right now?
Of course you are. Come on. You love your Marvel shit, so just take it.
Just take it and like it.
So, to clarify, Force Friday is October 4th, 2019. They're actually pushing it back a little bit, but it will be a triple Force Friday for Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker, The Mandalorian, and the video game Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Which looks freaking awesome.
So you will get lots of Merc, and then a month later, The Mandalorian.
Oh my God,
and then a month,
we have just under
and then
four
a month
months.
Later, The Rise of Skywalker.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I hate that I am super excited about all this Star Wars.
Yeah. Doesn't it suck to be alive
on the
planet?
You didn't like Star Wars when we started this shit.
Oh, what a few years does.
Man, it really sucks to be alive on this planet at this moment.
Yeah, thank God I'm not having any kids. You know, I can spend all my money on stupid shit like Disney Plus and toys.
Yep.
Oh, all right. Wow, that was a lot of toilet.
3 years. 3 years. Got that money. Got you for 3 years.
I don't know.
Disney
I might
Plus
only do 1 year at a time.
Years.
I don't know if I like them people that
much
yet.
That's a big commitment.
All right.
Do you have a fear of commitment?
Next time, Legends. Oh, of course I do. Next time, yeah. Legends Podcast. Legends goes back to school with Election. Where can we find this lobster?
I don't know. I need to find out.
Okay.
I need to find out for us to find it. I tend to go to like the library for things like this. But it is a seminal movie. Ian will tell us it is his favorite movie of 1999. It is available on Amazon Prime with your subscription. It's on Tubi for free. It's on Vudu for free. It's on Crackle for free.
Excellent.
As of right now, careful because that may change at the end of the month. I don't know.
And what is Crackle?
What is Crackle?
Okay, that was a legitimate question.
Crackle is Sony's streaming platform. Crackle is the reason why Disney will get the rights to Spider-Man very soon.
Crackle.
I just want wanted to throw that out there. Let's twist the knife a little bit more in Sony's back.
Next time we'll also be with our special guest Ian from Primal Scenes. He was with us for the Mother podcast, correct?
Mandy episode.
Chainsaw.
My favorite movie of 2018, along with Into the Spider-Verse.
I was going to say, dude, you better fucking throw that on there. All right. This has been episode 436 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, yeah, I just told him what his favorite movie was.
I'm John D saying, yeah, that's a headache movie, yeah?
I just got that on Blu-ray too, and I can't wait to watch it. I am Lobster saying Aug Heist 2019 has been so much fun. Heist you later in 2020.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com.
You can also visit legendspodcast.lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, Gunna Geek, or Kraken Cast. No infringement is intended.